All right.
Hello.
Hi, guys.
Welcome back
to the Flick Chicks podcast.
I'm Jane.
And I'm Allison.
And how are you, Allison?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Still in social distancing.
Yep. From now until forever.
Now until forever.
If our mic... So we bought tickets to a My Chemical Romance concert in September. We paid a lot of freaking money for these tickets, okay? And it's far away, okay? We're gonna have to travel. And if it gets canceled, I'm gonna lose it. I'm legit. So you all better stay home so I can go to the My Chemical Romance concert in September.
Yeah, do it for us.
Do it for us, please. I've been waiting 10 years, please. Please, I really wanna go. I spent so much money on the tickets.
Yeah, I'm very excited.
Yes, it'll be really good. If we get to do it. If not, you know, just another disappointment.
Just another disappointment, a long string of disappointments that 2020 has brought.
Welcome to 2020, baby. Ugh. Where everything sucks all the time. But hey, there's this podcast, right?
Yeah. I mean, it gets me out of the house once or twice a week.
Yeah. It's like, oh, great, I'm allowed to leave. To see my one friend who also isn't allowed to leave except for this one thing. So, this week, we're doing Honey Boy.
Yeah.
Yep. 2019.
Yep.
Shia LaBeouf wrote.
I think it's his writing debut, his screenplay
debut, yeah. If you will.
If you will. It's a fictionalized autobiography.
Yes. So, based upon his life.
Yeah.
But not entirely accurate.
Yeah, so his life. It's about a child star, basically, how he was. Follows this kid named Otis, who is kind of in like an Even Stevens type show.
Yes.
Which is what, you know, the lens that you kind of come in to viewing it.
And Shia LaBeouf plays his own father.
James.
Although the fictionalized version of his own father. FKA, I think that's how you say her name, Twigs. Is in this. She's a singer, I think. And she is in this, and she plays a girl that lives at the motel.
Shy girl.
She is a sex worker, maybe?
Maybe.
Also might just be a girl that might grow up to be a sex worker.
We're not really sure.
Hard to say. Very vague. But I'll go ahead and read the...
And what's his name? Lucas Hedges is in it.
Yes.
He plays older Otis.
That's Lucas Hedges. Oh, yeah, yeah,
he plays the older Otis. He was in Manchester by the Sea and Three Billboards Outside of Ebbing, Missouri.
Yes, he's really good.
Anything sad.
Yeah, this guy, he doesn't do happy movies.
No.
Okay, so, plot. Wikipedia, as always. In 2005, Otis Lort is a movie star who has an extreme alcohol problem. He crashes his car and gets into a violent drunken altercation with police. He is forced to go to a rehab facility where his counselor, Dr. Moreno, tells him that if he leaves the facility before they say he is ready, the court will send him to prison for his violent offenses. I believe they say 4 years. You'll have to serve 4 years. That's quite long. She says that based on what she's found, Otis has PTSD, which he denies repeatedly, but she encourages him to look into his past through exposure therapy. What is that?
Exposure therapy? So basically that's remembering, kind of forcing those memories to come back up, and in this one he writes it all down.
You have to deal with it, kind of?
Yeah, okay. So he just kind of has to manifest it on a page so he can read it out loud to the therapist.
Going back a decade earlier to 1995, by the way, they use, what are they called? The clackers for directors. They're literally, there's a name for them.
Oh, yeah. Take one.
Take one. What are they called? Let us know. I don't want to look it up. they have a name. I don't know what they are. They use that as the time cards.
Which are cool.
So cool.
Yeah.
I was like, okay. So going back to the decade earlier, 1995, Otis remembers working as a child actor who was accompanied on set by his father, James, a former rodeo clown. James is 4 years sober, but clearly on edge and unpredictable, manic and aggressive.
He's not well. He was also a combat veteran.
Yes. The two live in a terrible motel complex where a shy young woman, FKA Twigs, lives across from them. Otis is in the Big Brother program at the behest of his mother, despite James's dislike and jealousy. Otis wants to go to a baseball game with Tom, from the program. So that's like his
big brother.
Big brother. He wants to go to a game with Tom from the program, and James agrees if Tom comes over for a barbecue. He says he's going to go with a kid named AJ, who I'm assuming is also a kid in the Big Brother program.
Yeah.
And his big brother, Tom, is going to drive them. Mm-hmm. But his dad is, like, really, I guess...
He's very territorial over Otis.
Yeah, and I guess he's just kind of embarrassed that he's in the program, because to him, people are only in the program when they have absent fathers.
Yeah.
Which he doesn't technically have an absent father. He's there.
Yeah.
But, you know.
He's a little... Is he a good dad?
No.
No.
Is he around? I guess, yeah. Sometimes.
He's around for the money.
He's around for the money, yes, literally. In 2005 again, Otis is shown communicating with his rehab roommate, Percy, and continues therapy. He resists the process, finding it unhelpful. Back to his memories, Otis remembers Tom coming over for the barbecue and James throwing him into the pool and violently threatening him.
That scene is so crazy.
Yeah, they basically, like, at first you kind of think it's going well.
Yeah, you're like, oh, James is being nice. Because the dad's being
really cool and...
Talking to Tom.
And they're talking about guy stuff, like mm-hmm. cars. And then he basically says, like, go get a soda for us. And while he's gone getting the sodas, he basically is like...
I'll skull fuck your whole fucking family.
Yeah, he's like, you're trying to take my son. And he's like, I'm not trying to take your son. Like, you
I'm
seem-
just trying to help.
Yeah, he basically says, like, it's... He just says... Basically, the way he says it is he's like, it's just good for them to have, like, multiple role models.
Yeah.
But of course...
Which it is.
Yeah, of course. Especially when you're... Dad is a mess of a person.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so Tom doesn't come over again.
No.
And I'm guessing they don't go to the baseball game.
It's very sad.
Yeah, I was like, let him go to the baseball game.
The scene where, James keeps all the money that is given to Otis, like, yeah. for his acting. And then Otis has to go up and ask him, like, hey, I need some money for hot dogs. And yeah. that's Otis's money.
I know. And that's what's really interesting too, because it's like, that's like a dad thing. Like, you would have to go up to your dad and ask him for money when you're 12. But knowing that, like, it's your own money and he can say no.
Exactly. Yeah.
But then also he can't really say no. Yeah. I don't know. It's like Gary Coleman. Oof. His family. Okay. In case you don't know, Gary Coleman was a child star.
Uh-huh.
And he... his parents stole all his money from when he was a child actor.
Didn't that happen to Macaulay Culkin?
Maybe. I don't know. But I know that Gary Coleman had to sue his own parents for money because he was literally, like, destitute. Because Gary Coleman has some kind of, I don't know what it is exactly, like some kind of abnormality where he doesn't grow past a certain height.
Gotcha.
And so his acting career after he was a kid was pretty much over because mm-hmm. he didn't look, like, normal, I guess.
Yeah,
and so he basically only does bit parts as, like, himself.
Mm-hmm.
And his parents stole all his money, so he couldn't, like, retire. And he ended up having, like, as an adult to, like, sue his parents for the money. And I think he won, but I think, like, they had, like, spent it all, so it was, like, he got a little bit, but it, like, didn't. You know
that's
what I mean?
Terrible.
You can't get money that's not there.
Yeah, that's terrible.
I know. Really sad. This is, like, feels like where it's going for him, you know? Obviously, it's not what happened, because Tribal Buff, we know, is still working.
Yes.
But, not good. So, it's 2005 again. Otis is shown communicating. Oh, I already said that. Sorry. okay, so... Otis remembers Tom coming over for the barbecue and James throwing him into the pool and violently threatening him. When he is offered a part in a movie that will be shot in Canada, Otis calls his mother, who isn't sure if James can accompany him because he's a registered sex offender.
Oh my god, this scene is heartbreaking.
This causes James to begin screaming at her via Otis, who has to relay both of his parents' conversation back to each other.
There's this whole part where Otis's mom is like, tell your dad that I had to jump out of a moving car before he raped me. And Otis has to relay that to his dad.
And he's like, it's really not good. And then finally they talk and Otis leaves, but...
It's very, very painful.
Back to present, after resisting yet again, Otis's counselor, Alec, advises him to go into the woods and scream as loud as he can. Then the film shows James attending Alcoholics Anonymous meeting where he tells of his abusive stepmother, how he got into drug and alcohol abuse, and while blacked out, attempted to rape a woman, which got him registered as a sex offender. Alone at his place, Otis spends time with the shy girl, and the two cuddle, and he gives her money. Which I couldn't tell if that was him being like, nice, like, I want you to have this money because you're not doing well, or if it was, like, because him, he thinks she's a sex worker and he thinks that's what happens, is, like...
Because he, like, learns from his dad or whatever.
Right, like, if you cuddle her, that means you owe her money. Which I was like, she clearly wasn't.
Yeah, she was clearly just cuddling him because she wanted to. Because
she was, like, lonely.
Yeah.
Also, it's, like, she's probably not used to men treating her kindly.
Yeah.
Which is probably why she goes for a 12-year-old boy.
How old do you think she is? Like, 16?
I would guess, like, 16 or 17. Yeah.
Still not okay.
I mean, FKA Twigs in real life, I think, is probably over the age of 18, but... Definitely weird that he's literally 12.
Yeah, it's...
I was like, not cool. I mean, I see where it's coming from, but...
Yeah.
Not good still. Don't like it. I know the whole time I was like... I never am okay with minors and adults having, like, scenes like that together.
No, me either.
It's, I don't care. Just hire an adult that looks like a kid. If you really want to do that, either get creative, mm-hmm. or, I mean, luckily, I guess they did. They didn't ever do anything, but they certainly pushed me.
Yeah.
They certainly pushed me. So, James forces Otis to rehearse his scenes over and over again, and he stops to scream at the neighbors across the way for being too loud. Otis asks him to stop and tells him that no one would hire him because he's a sex offender and that Otis is his boss since James is making money off of him. In 2005, Otis thanks Alec for the advice and continues to work with Dr. Moreno on controlling his anger. When he thanks Alec for the advice, it's kind of weird too because it's like, is he being genuine?
Yeah.
Is he not? It's hard to tell.
It's interesting because the therapist is like, are you serious? Or are you joking with me? He says, both.
Yeah. He's like, well, I don't know. I mean, it worked, but also stupid.
Yeah.
In 1995, Otis finally confronts his father and tells him he needs to start being a better dad to him.
This scene...
This is the worst scene in the whole movie. Like, this is the scene where I, like, started crying.
It's really upsetting.
It's really upsetting. So basically, Otis is, like, sitting outside and he's watching... It's after he shoots a scene in his show where he basically thinks his dad doesn't love him anymore. And his dad, like, they have a talk about, like, I'll always love you. And you're like, of course I love you. And we're not leaving you or anything like that.
Yeah, the TV dad.
The TV dad. And so he starts, like, imagining what it would be like if he could have a conversation like that with his dad. And so he tries. And his dad kind of gets upset, but then is like, you know what? You're right. You're right. I do need to start being a father. But then... James hits him twice in the face.
Yeah.
Furious at Otis for speaking to him that way, and then leaves on his motorcycle and scores drugs at a strip club.
Yeah, then he goes and smokes crack in the strip club bathroom. Yes. So, did not go the way that Otis wanted it to go.
At all.
And it was very upsetting, and I cried.
Yeah, I also cried. It was really messed up. He hits him hard, too. Yeah. It's like...
He's like, you know, my dad always told me that you can hit your boss twice, and then he just, like, pops him.
Which is not true.
No.
You can never hit your boss. You should have never hit anyone.
No.
Alone, Otis spends time with the shy girl, and the two are caught waking up together the next morning by James.
Okay, we don't know if they had sex or not.
Yeah, it's not clear. He says, like, did you fuck that girl?
And he says no.
Yeah, but then when he asks her, like, did you have sex with my son? She said, I'm just taking care of him like his dad should. So it kind of seemed like to me maybe... It kind of seems to me like she understands that he's 12.
That she's just looking after him.
But at the same time, she also does probably have, like, some kind of desire to have someone like that be nice to her.
Yeah.
I like to think they didn't.
But also, it was 1995 and that stuff happens all the time.
Mm-hmm. It's really hard
to say. And also, but keep in mind that at this point, he's becoming, like, more well-known child actor.
Yeah, people are recognizing him.
So we can kind of think that she might know who he is.
Right. But I like to think that...
She was just looking after him.
She was just looking after him and giving him company, and he was keeping her company.
Yeah.
I like to hope. Anyway, the shy girl slaps James and leaves, and James vomits and asks Otis how he thinks it feels to hear his own son talk to him like that and say that he pays him. But he does. Mm-hmm. Otis tells James that if he didn't pay him, James wouldn't be there. So sad. Then they like do end up having like a talk where he's like, listen, I'll tell you what, like, if you start respecting me and stop treating me like an employee, then I'll start treating you like a son, basically. Like, mm-hmm. I'll start being a better dad. And so he's like, okay, cool, yes, totally, I will do that. So then James, the best dad ever, takes Otis to marijuana plants he has been growing off the highway.
Yeah.
And smokes cannabis with him. Teaches him
to smoke
how
cannabis.
To smoke weed.
Yeah.
Which he already is supplying this 12-year-old with cigarettes.
Cigarettes, yes.
And he has clearly he's very okay with him smoking cigarettes.
Yeah. He's and also Otis is obviously addicted to him.
Yes. Yeah, he
keeps asking for them throughout the film.
Yeah, and like anytime he's stressed, he like looks for one and smokes it. In 2005, Otis revisits the motel and imagines himself finding his father there in the rodeo clown costume. I don't know if this is real or not.
I don't think it is.
I don't know how he would have been able to leave the rehab facility.
I think he's had recurring dreams about his dad, so yeah, I think that is established.
Honestly,
is just a
dream I think
sequence.
A lot of this is memory.
Yeah, I agree.
I think most of it is him, it's his therapy, right? Like,
yeah.
We're basically watching his brain as he goes through therapy, but then also getting in real time to see
mm-hmm.
his actual therapy, right? See how it's working. So, Otis revisits the motel, imagines himself finding his father there in his rodeo clown costume. He tells his father he's going to make a movie about him. James asks him to make him look good. The two ride away on James's motorcycle, which fades into Otis driving alone, driving away.
Yep.
So, sort of a positive note, which is that he's, like, kind of understanding the value of, like, processing the trauma.
Yeah, and, you know, really understanding what's been going on and how what he went through influences who he is in present day.
Yeah, especially because through a lot of the movie, he kind of denies that, like, his dad has anything to do with his problems.
That has anything to do with why he drinks or anything like that. But then at the end, he sort of starts to realize that if these things hadn't happened to him, would he have ended up where he is now?
And the answer is probably no.
Yeah.
So this is obviously really sad because whole time you're like, is this what happened to Shia LaBeouf? The whole time you're like, I made fun of Shia LaBeouf when that Just Do It meme came out on the internet. And I did for a long time. And now I'm feeling real guilty. Because I'm like, oh, Shia LaBeouf, it's no wonder that you maybe had a bit of a breakdown. I don't blame you.
I don't blame him either. And he has real, you know, addiction issues. And obviously, Allison's going to go through what actually happened and what actually didn't. And it wasn't as bad as this, but
no, this is definitely, luckily, very fictionalized.
But he was abused and he does have PTSD.
And his dad was an alcoholic piece of shit.
Yeah.
So, the timeline is a little different. Shia LaBeouf would have only been 9 in 1995, whereas Otis is 12.
Mm-hmm.
But Shia LaBeouf did not get his break until the late 90s, and his big break didn't come until 2000, when Even Stevens debuted on Disney Channel. The events in the movie depict as taking place in 2005 are drawn from a wider range of years, condensing about a decade of events starting in the late 2000s into 2005.
Okay.
So, clearly the first part of that movie is supposed to be a reference to the Transformers movies.
Yeah.
Which Shia LaBeouf was in. But Shia LaBeouf, that wasn't until the late 2000s, and that's supposed to be in 2005.
Okay.
So he condensed, like, a bunch of his late career into this one bit, and a bunch of his early career into a little earlier.
That makes sense.
Yes. The Transformers series, he stretched his, like, this whole thing takes place until about, he basically, I should say, condensed from 2000 to, like, 2017.
Okay.
And then that's when the rehab stint took place that ultimately inspired Honey Boy.
Okay.
So 2017 is when Shia LaBeouf went to rehab. So his early roles. The poster for Honey Boy and an early scene in the movie show a young Otis being hit in the face with a pie, that old standby of comedy gags. Other scenes show Otis in a few different comic kids show scenarios, wearing a bathroom and a wig with hair rollers on a living room set, sitting down for an elaborate dinner with somebody playing his father and seemingly his own butler. There is talk of Otis landing a role in a TV movie of the week. All of this jives with LaBeouf's early career, during which he most famously starred as the younger brother on Even Stevens.
Mm-hmm.
His character got into all kinds of wacky antics and was definitely pied in the face at least once.
Yes, definitely.
There's even an episode where he hires a butler. It is unclear if there's a precise junior cross-dressing scene being referenced, but it's certainly the kind of thing that kids fare at the time traded in. LaBeouf's character on the show, Lewis, frequently wore Hawaiian shirts and a which is a wardrobe choice also made for Otis and Honey Boy.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so action movies. When we first see Lucas Hedges on the screen, he's performing a stunt on a movie set where a faux explosion sends him flying across the air attached to a rope and harness. Though Optimus Prime is nowhere in sight, this kind of action sequence seems right out of Buff's real-life Transformers years, when the actor frequently spoke of performing his own stunts, and some scenes from the second film even took place on an airfield. The real-life LaBeouf started earning a reputation for being a bad boy, or at the very least with his performance art and odd duck. Mm-hmm. Similarly, Hedges' character is also seemingly on a spiral, drinking alone in his trailer and dealing with anger and isolation issues. LaBeouf's dad... I don't want a Claritin ad, thank you. Over the years, LaBeouf has spoken a lot about his chaotic upbringing. Like fictional Otis, LaBeouf was an only child with parents who divorced when he was very young, and during his childhood rise to fame, it was his father who worked on his as his on-set companion, just as the child star in Honey Boy. Both his real father, Jeffrey, and the fictionalized father, James, are erratic figures with a history of addiction and crime. Mm-hmm. The movie shows James attending 12-step meetings, and in real life, LaBeouf has spoken of accompanying his father to many of those meetings. They really did live in a motel as well.
Wow.
Yeah. The part of the movie where James grew marijuana on a highway, LaBeouf told Vanity Fair back in 2007 that his dad did do that. James and Jeffrey were also both Vietnam War vets. James wears a leather jacket that identifies him as such. And both James and LaBeouf's real-life father, Jeffrey, are also former clowns. Part of James's act was doing stunts involving chickens, something his real-life father did too.
Yeah, the chicken motif stays throughout the entire film.
Yes. And the title of the movie, Honey Boy, comes from the real term of endearment LaBeouf's father used to use for him.
Oh.
So the car crash and arrest. The movie shows Lucas Hedges as Otis getting into a serious car crash with his co-star, not unlike the one Shia LaBeouf was in while filming a Transformers sequel in 2008. He was with Isabel Lucas and seriously injured his hand. Even though LaBeouf was deemed not at fault for that crash, he refused a breathalyzer test and was cited for drunk driving.
Okay.
Prosecutors later decided there wasn't enough evidence to charge. So, even though he wasn't charged with drunk driving and there's no record of him doing that, like, legally, it sounds to me like he probably was.
Yeah.
And it sounds to me like he knows he was.
Yeah.
In the movie, Otis is arrested and shown yelling at the police, which parallels LaBeouf's 2017 arrest in Georgia, though this was only one of his several brushes with the law. In that incident, LaBeouf became incensed after asking a police officer for a cigarette and was arrested for public drunkenness, disorderly conduct, and obstruction. Footage of the arrest was leaked to TMZ and showed LaBeouf yelling vulgarities at the police, specifically telling an officer he's going to hell because he's a black man. In the movie, Otis isn't shown saying anything racist, but as LaBeouf did in real life, he does demand to know why he's being arrested and taunts the police about his fame. Rehab. Otis lands in rehab after his arrest, much like LaBeouf did after his 2017 arrest. The film depicts Otis dealing with his post-traumatic stress disorder through screaming in the woods, exposure therapy, and writing, and when he reunites with his father, Otis tells him he plans to write a movie about him. LaBeouf really did start writing a movie in rehab to cope with the PTSD he was diagnosed with, and that movie did become Honey Boy. When LaBeouf visited his father, who was living in Costa Rica rather than still at the motel, like James is in the movie, to tell him about Happy Boy, it was the first time the two had spoken in 7 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, his dad was a pretty hardcore heroin addict, I read that. And addiction runs in families.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. And he does say, I do believe he talks about, like, in the movie, his dad does say, like, you should know that your family is all alcoholics. Yeah. Like, that's something you gotta watch out for. I'm looking at another article, too, to see if there's anything, you know, else.
He's only 33 years old.
Wow.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
Not too old for me.
He said, this is so sad. Ha ha! When LaBeouf landed the role in Even Stevens, he moved into a motel with his dad to be close to the set. His relationship with his father, who was a Vietnam War vet and an alleged sexual offender who struggled with addiction. So his dad wasn't actually a registered sex offender, but was... Probably a sex offender. I'm guessing was, yes. Was rife with mental and physical abuse. The young actor wanted to make money, seeing it as a way to keep his family around. He became a star acting in small hits like Disturbia after his Disney days and eventually landing Michael Bay's Transformer franchise. The actor went through a series of troubling incidents in his 20s. Everything came to a halt when he was arrested for getting in a drunken altercation with an officer while filming The Peanut Butter Falcon in Georgia.
They don't mention holes.
Yeah.
It's a great film.
It is a great film. That's part of his Disney days, though.
Yeah, that's true.
He was given the option of going to jail for 7 years or going through court-ordered rehab. The choice was obvious. In rehab, the actor realized he had PTSD. He started rating, you know, Honey Boy. He said, I think context is really important, and I think that what Honey Boy does is it contextualizes who I was publicly and kind of plays on it. Both of LaBeouf's parents have seen the film. They're happy with my reaction to it, and they know that I wouldn't have shared it with people unless I was proud of it. So I think just the act of sharing it with them sort of contextualizes the whole viewing experience as something that's quite safe for them to enjoy. So they were going to enjoy it regardless of if I played it for them. He basically said, like, the whole movie was a cathartic experience for him.
Yeah, I can imagine that getting all that out is, you know, very cathartic. Yeah.
So, essentially, a lot of it was, of course, over the top. And or things that were maybe, like, alleged that didn't necessarily happen, he said happened.
Mm-hmm.
But
a lot of it's true, it looks like.
A lot of it is true.
They did live in a hotel. There was physical abuse.
Yeah. Maybe, it's hard to say, of course, like, Shia LaBeouf's probably not going to be like, let me recount every bit of physical and emotional abuse that my father ever, you know, forced upon me. But it seems like this is more of a general idea of what it was like.
Yeah.
Or what it felt like. And it seems like most of the changes are kind of, it's also interesting because this movie kind of looks at how we think of him publicly as well.
Yeah, definitely. Especially with the older Otis.
Yeah. And, like, the young Otis always being, like, in the Hawaiian shirts and cute little kid. And
yeah.
Messed up.
Yeah, sad. And you were talking about how Lucas Hedges really did a good job on Shia LaBeouf's speech patterns.
Yes, very much so, I think.
Yeah.
This did win a lot of awards, but it won a lot of, like, independent awards.
Yeah.
I'm trying to look at facts, but I feel like we probably got most of these. On the thing.
This movie's so sad, though.
Shia got his father to sign for the rights by agreeing, rights agreement by telling him that Mel Gibson would be playing him in the movie. He knew that Mel Gibson had already turned down the role, though Mel was supportive of Shia in the movie. Let's see. The opening shot of the first trailer has Lucas Hedges' character yelling, no, 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 several times before getting launched into the air during an action sequence. This is a self-aware reference who wrote this by Shia LaBeouf, as he had been known to yell the word no repeatedly often in movies, particularly during the Transformers films.
Interesting.
He does do that a lot, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Shia's mother, Shayna, was on set every day.
That's good.
The one thing that is, I believe, like, a little bit exaggerated is how not involved his mom was. I believe in real life his mom was much more involved.
Yeah, in Honey Boy, though, Otis's mom is not, so doesn't seem to be involved at all.
No, she, I mean, she's involved a little bit.
She talks to him and stuff.
Right, but she doesn't live with him. I'm very shocked that anybody let Shia LaBeouf live with his dad.
Yeah, me too. It was 1990, it was 1990s, though.
I guess, yeah. That's true. Filming for this movie started 2 weeks after Shia got out of rehab.
Wow.
The movie was filmed in 19 days.
Really?
Yeah. That's insane. Not even a month.
That's crazy.
This premiered at the Sundance Film Festival in 2019 to a standing ovation.
It's a beautiful movie.
It is a beautiful movie. It's really good. Honestly, it's very pretty.
It is very pretty, and it's well written, and it's well directed, well acted. Like, there's really nothing wrong with it that I could see.
Yeah. During filming, Lucas Hedges spent a lot of time in Shia's house, and ended up scaring Shia, who ended up moving into a hotel temporarily. After Shia left the house, Lucas moved in, and eventually Noah Jupe did also.
Huh.
I know. Weird?
Weird.
Why? Shia, just say you can't be in my house. It's your house, baby. Shia LaBeouf is actually only 10 years older than Lucas Hedges.
Oh, wow.
Which I guess is actually quite a bit older than the kid that plays Kid Otis.
Well, he's only 10 years older than me.
Yeah.
Because I'll be 23 in December and he's 33.
So Lucas Hedges is our age.
Oh, okay.
I'm trying to see what else. Most of these now are just becoming... this is the second time Shia LaBeouf has ever played in a movie with the word honey in the title. Haha. also, apparently, like, the chicken stunts are real. Like, that's real stunts that his dad used to do.
Oh, so, those are fun.
So Shia LaBeouf had to, like, go through bonding with the chicken in order to get the chicken to do stuff like that.
That's funny.
I know.
I really liked the chicken motif about how that reminds him of his dad. Mm-hmm. Because the very first scene that when we meet James is telling him that story about the chicken poop and how he was like, you know what the white part of the chicken poop is? And they're like, I don't know what it is. And he's like, that's just more chicken poop.
He's not funny. It's incredible. I think you see that a lot. Like, in my opinion, this gives like a very interesting look at child stars.
Yeah.
And I think child stars are, it's a little bit better nowadays because
they have more rights.
More, yeah, and there's more regulations on things and people are a little bit more cautious. But I mean, you look at, there's like decades of child stars who just went insane.
Oh yeah.
I mean, like, starting with like, I mean, as early as like Judy Garland, honestly.
So true.
And then like as late as like Miley Cyrus. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you look at those people who, I think a big part when you look at like why child stars tend to kind of go off the deep end a bit. Mm-hmm. I mean, so much of it is just that like they...
There's so much pressure at such a young age.
Yeah.
And they're under the public spotlight all the time.
And they're kind of forced to grow up. And I think Hollywood like forces you to grow up, but then it never forces you to grow past a certain age.
Yeah.
So you become 20 so young, but then you never have to get older than 20.
You have to be old enough to work, but you don't need to be
old enough to grow up.
Yeah, be an adult.
Yeah. Like, and the only people I can really think of that I find like, I guess like a successful child actor story mm-hmm. is like probably the Sprouse twins.
Yeah, they're doing pretty good.
But like I've seen interviews where they've talked about like why that is mm-hmm. kind of. And something really interesting is they said both one of their parents was always on set whenever, like not just like, oh, we're on set somewhere because you have to have a companion on set.
Yeah.
But their parents were like, if they were in the room, their parents were in the room.
That's good.
Which is for like a long time of their life, which is something that really I think is important because you don't just want, I mean, you just, Hollywood is such an industry with so many people, like some of the worst people in the world work in Hollywood, you know what I mean? And it's like, also probably some of the most pedophiles.
Oh yeah, I mean
highest number of pedophiles
that gets you access to kids.
Like, exactly,
it's working with child actors.
Also, exactly,
gets you access to kids. That's what. Listen, pedophiles go to jobs where they have access to kids. That's why there are pedophiles in fields where there are kids.
Yeah, it's probably like politicians, the Catholic Church, and like
power,
Hollywood,
power and money and access.
Exactly, we'll get. You know what I mean?
Anything,
you crave it. So it's like you are putting kids in this scenario with pedophiles, even if they're not pedophiles, some of the most egotistical, mentally unstable people that exist in the world, probably a lot of them, are artists. And you're putting them in a room, uncensored, to allow their minds to be formed by those people. Mm-hmm. Those people maybe aren't the people who you want to form your child's mind. So it's like, it's one of those things where you can't just let your kid. You have to put in extra precautions. And it's like, you have to be pretty fortunate to be able to do that.
Yeah,
you know definitely. What I mean? And they were able to do that. And then also, the Sprouse twins basically worked with Disney. I mean, they did some movies when they were young. But then they basically worked with Disney all through their career until they were like 17 or 18.
Yeah.
Until they
aged out
and they quit and then they didn't act for a while.
Yeah.
Like 5 or 6 years.
Yeah,
almost.
Cole Sprouse didn't go on Riverdale for
Riverdale was I know they went to NYU and they did a 4-year study. Both of them graduated from NYU. And so they did college. They like went to college. I know that like actors have to go to school, but
sometimes they don't.
Sometimes they don't. Or the school is maybe not the best. Maybe sometimes it's like...
It's interesting, too. It makes me think of the Harry Potter kids, too.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I don't really know their situation, but I know
they turned out pretty good.
They turned out pretty good. I know that Emma Watson went to Brown.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a big thing, too, is you have to encourage... If you're going to have a child star, you need to encourage them to do things that expose them to real people.
Yeah.
Because it's really easy to just be like, look at this group of people, and this is a very specific type of group of people that aren't necessarily like the people you always want to learn all your lessons from.
Yeah.
And also it's important, I think, that I think another good thing about the Harry Potter movies, there were a lot of kids working on it.
They had like school on,
exactly.
on the premises.
I mean, like when you consider all the extras and stuff in Harry Potter, you probably literally had hundreds of kids
yeah.
working at that thing. And so that's another thing too, when a lot of times you get actors that do a lot of child actors do a lot of movies or that do shows where there's only a couple kids, you're growing up around mostly adults.
Exactly.
And that's just the thing, that adults are adults, and that's not for kids.
Yeah.
And adults, especially when it's a work environment and it's like that, a lot of times they're not going to try and censor themselves because there's a kid there.
Definitely.
Especially when it's an everyday.
So the kids are going to get exposed to things mm-hmm. that maybe they shouldn't be exposed to.
Yeah. So it's definitely one of those things where I think it is better. I think if you're going to be the parent of a child actor, you have to choose the kind of things you let your kid do very, very important. And yeah. I think it's important to know the directors that they're going to be working with, like their reputation.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. I think sometimes, I think it's kind of sad, but I think there are only a couple reasons people, like children, really go into acting. And it's either because their parents are a part of the entertainment industry and mm-hmm. it's just like a natural progression for them, or it's because their parents want their kid to be famous.
They want money.
Exactly. And it's like when you have a kid, when you have a parent who doesn't care at all about the well-being of their kid and all they care about is their kid becoming famous for money, they're going to put you into situations that you don't need to be in.
Yeah.
And they're going to allow you. It's a dangerous industry. It's the only industry in which kids are allowed to work,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of a ethical debate there yeah. in and of itself. Yeah. But like, should kids be allowed to work? Probably not. But I guess.
I guess we kind of have
to. I guess we want kids for movies. So yeah. you'll let kids work. But then also, there definitely needs to be. It would be interesting to see if they could do like a putting social workers or something on movie sets. Like that was yeah. a requirement that there had to be like a government worker or something. That just wouldn't really work either. I don't know. It's hard to say.
Yeah.
It's hard to say. There's so many kids in so many movies. So many. So hard to
regulate
them. Especially when it's like the difference between sometimes they're doing stuff in the movie that is like a little too much, but that's kind of different from real life.
Yeah.
Hard to say. Messed up.
Yes.
And I don't know. If I had a kid, I probably wouldn't ever let them work in the industry.
No, yeah, I don't think. No.
Nope. I don't really, I don't trust the people in Hollywood, quite frankly. If you're an adult, you know, you can watch out for yourself. You can make informed decisions. But, yeah. I mean, I think that's also another thing why, like, when you hear about actors who it's like, oh, they're so, you know, well-adjusted and so nice. And, like, 90% of the time it's because they became actors as adults.
Yeah.
Versus, like, people who were actors their whole lives, like, they're literally incapable of talking to people that aren't celebrities.
I know. That's what I heard about Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense. You know what I mean? Like,
they just don't know how to act.
They don't know what real people are like.
Yeah.
It's kind of like when, like, rich people go, they're like, they grow up rich, their parents are rich, they go to a rich school, they go to a rich college, mm-hmm. then they go into a rich job, and it's like, when they have to talk to, like, normal people, they're like, I don't know what to do. They're yeah. like robots. They, like, fritz out because they've never had to talk to a real person before. It's like, they literally don't know how to do it.
And the power dynamics are so intense in Hollywood.
Yeah. It's kind of insane that, like, so much of how well-adjusted you are just depends on the people you grow up around.
Yeah.
And, yeah. like, even if you don't necessarily grow up in a bad situation, like, being rich, not bad.
No.
Growing up around rich people, not bad. But also, you just become, like, incapable of understanding another person.
Yeah, if you're not exposed to those things.
It's kind of insane. It's like, at some point, how are you not exposed to it? I don't know. Okay, so I have a review. This might rival our grossest review ever.
Oh, no.
It's pretty bad. It's short, but it sure does pack a punch. 1 out of 10. Why did a woman direct this?
No! No! Ugh.
We all know by now that women tend to be horrible directors. This movie proves it. Yep. I know. It's slow and boring, and the fact that Shia wrote this based on his own life is creepy and overindulgent. It's not poignant or anything close to moving. A female director cannot understand what a totally emotionally messed up man is about, plain and simple. Move on and stop playing identity politics. It's nothing more than virtue signaling and bad movie making.
Ew!
I told you every line is horrible.
That's disgusting!
I know. Usually it's like one or two really bad lines.
Every single line in that.
Mm-hmm.
That's horrible. That I disagree. I disagree. I disagree. I disagree.
Also, what are you gonna do? You know, I mean, first of all, she doesn't really have to understand anything about the emotional intelligence of a messed up man because she didn't write it.
Exactly.
A man wrote it. The man who the movie is about wrote it. He gets it.
He understands. He went through this stuff.
I think he knows how he feels. So, also, that's like saying men can never direct women. Ever. They won't get it. They don't get women. Like, sometimes that's true.
Sometimes that is true.
Sometimes it's like, when you're a guy and you're trying to make a movie about the female experience, it's like, all right, stop.
I was watching The Descent, and it's like an all-female cast, and it was written and directed by a man, and I was like...
You can tell.
You obviously don't understand, like, female friendships at all, because it was all just, like, female friends, like, screwing each other over, and I'm like, that would never happen.
Yeah, men are, you know. Yeah, this was that was a gross review. Also, I saw a lot of reviews. This is something that I saw a lot in the reviews, which was that people were like, this is overindulgent, or like, this is, you know, it's vanity that Shia LaBeouf wrote this. And I'm like, what are you talking about? It's literally an autobiography. That's literally what it's about.
That's what it's about.
It's like saying Rocket Man shouldn't have been written. That's overindulgent of Elton John to make a movie about his career, even though it is interesting. Overindulgent, Elton John. If I wanted to know how your career was, I just would have been there. It's literally also, I think, here's the thing. I think people are giving Shia LaBeouf a hard time because he's kind of known for being insane, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of his thing for the last several years, is that he's kind of crazy. And he does crazy things. And then he makes a video of himself watching all his own movies and live streams it, and it's just him watching all his own movies. It's kind of crazy.
Kind of crazy.
But I think the whole point of this movie is to contextualize the crazy and make you understand why he may not be the most sane person that's ever existed.
Yeah, maybe all this trauma that he went through influenced how he is
and also,
as an adult.
You know what? We've all already gone through this with Britney Spears, all right? Can't we learn a lesson?
Yeah.
We learned it with Britney Spears. Britney Spears went off the deep end, right? And everybody made fun of her because they were like, haha, Britney shaving her head, so crazy. And then you, like, learn about the way Britney is, like, over-sexualized in the industry.
Yeah.
And is, like, sexually harassed by fans and people in the industry and how she has no control over her own life. And then it's, like, kind of makes sense why Britney went a little off the deep end and shaved her own hair off.
Yeah, it kind of makes a little sense.
So, but it just think people people don't like feeling bad about the fact that they've made fun of Shia LaBeouf for the last 10 years. And so when they saw this movie, they were like, wow, what a piece of shit for trying to make us feel bad for him. And it's not, it doesn't even seem like he's, from his interviews, it doesn't even seem like he's upset that we've all made fun of him.
No, it doesn't.
It's more just like, he's trying to contextualize his actions. Like, he's trying to make you understand why he did the things that he did.
Exactly. Exactly. And, like, he didn't really, like, yeah, it's really just explaining why he is the way he is. And I think that that is...
Not only that, but it's, you know, trauma coping.
Yeah, exactly. He obviously was super cathartic for him. He worked on it in therapy. And
yeah,
I think that this is obviously, like, the love child of his recovery.
Yeah. Which is good.
It's good.
It's nice to see, you pieces of crap who just want to be able to make fun of Shia LaBeouf without feeling guilty. Trash people.
It's true.
And also, like, I saw a lot of reviews, too, which were like, this was probably very cathartic for Shia LaBeouf, but we didn't need to ever see it.
What?
And you're like, but it's a good movie,
it's
too.
A good movie.
It's also a good movie.
It's well done.
Okay, if this was a movie and you didn't know that it was about Shia LaBeouf at all, and this was just a movie about a child actor who was being abused, everyone would think it was great.
It's true. But just because it's about Shia LaBeouf's actual life,
people were mad. Also, here's the thing, too. I also think people feel bad because this movie kind of makes you think about, like, how ethical child acting is.
Yeah.
Because there's really, like, the kinds of people that put their kids in child acting are usually not the best people.
Are they, or should they really be allowed to have that much control over their child's career?
Exactly. And, like, the kid obviously can't, here's the thing, it's like, kids obviously can't really have say in the money and things like that, but it's also, like, it gives the parents a lot of power over their children.
Yeah.
And it gives a lot of people a lot of power over kids.
Yeah.
who are not really old enough to make their own decisions.
And not old enough to use the money that they are earning.
Exactly. Gary Coleman, baby.
Yeah.
Maybe Macaulay Culkin. We don't really know.
I feel like I heard about the Culkins not being the nicest.
Let's see.
I feel like he had to sue his parents at one point, is what I'm thinking. My phone might not be working. Let's see.
Macaulay Culkin. Oh, ho, ho. Throwbacks.com, baby. When was this article published? Let's see. Really fast. 2018. Macaulay Culkin opens up about his abusive father and Michael Jackson.
Okay, so Michael Jackson actually never molested Macaulay Culkin, but I want to tell you why. Because Macaulay Culkin was one of the biggest stars at the time.
Yeah.
And so if you molest someone who's a big star and they come out and say that you molested them, people are going to believe them. But if you molest a poor kid and they come out, you can just say, oh, they're just coming after my money.
Money, exactly.
And no one's going to believe them.
Okay, and his best friend, Michael Jackson, he said that let me try and find it. Oh my god, his girlfriend is Brenda Song?
Yeah, isn't that wild?
That is insane. Aw. Okay, before he could settle into a stable home life, Culkin lived a hectic life much more than any young boy could cope with. Luckily, he formed long-standing friendship with none other than King of Pop, Michael Jackson. Creepy, though. We were friends. We were actually best friends for a stretch of time when I was growing up. It was a legitimate friendship.
He was grooming you.
Yeah, literally. Also,
he slept in the same bed as you.
How do I say this? Adults are not friends with little children. Adults are not best friends with little children. The same way that, if a 29-year-old is dating you and you're in high school, you're not mature.
No.
He's into young women. I don't know how else to put that.
Listen, if you're 8 years old and you're best friends with a 30-year-old, that 30-year-old is a pedophile even if they're not molesting you.
Because, I'm sorry, you can be 30 and be nice to an 8-year-old and, be kind to them. And maybe they're some sort of family friend or you work with them.
Maybe they're a mentor, maybe.
You can be kind to them, but you're not best friends with them. If you're like, oh my god, let's have a sleepover. It's like, they're 8. You should not have anything in common with them.
No.
When my 12-year-old cousin talks to me, I don't even know what she's talking about half the time. She says things to me and I'm like, oh, I am out of touch.
I can't even imagine being best friends with an 8-year-old.
No!
Because it's not natural and it shouldn't happen because it's grooming behavior.
Colgan said it never felt weird. Also, you were 8, so it probably, of course.
Probably didn't feel weird.
So weird. But he did say that he had a poor relationship with his father. That he was abused.
Okay.
Everyone was abused in his family, his entire family.
Oh, that's so sad.
I know. And he would say stuff like, do good or I'll hit you.
Oh,
I know. Also, apparently he was on SNL and they told him he was going to get to use cue cards and his dad said no because you just need to know your lines. But that meant everybody else on Saturday Night Live also wasn't allowed to use cue cards.
They always use cue cards.
Yeah, so they all had to memorize their stuff just because Macaulay Culkin was going to get abused if they...
That's so sad.
I know. But he said his life improved after Richie Rich when his parents finally separated.
Oh, that's good.
And then later, he became emancipated, which allowed him to remove his parents' control over his earnings.
That's what I was thinking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He did say, they did take money from him when he was a kid.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
But when he was an adult.
That's what I thought.
Or a teen, he got emancipated very early.
Good. Good, good, good.
And was able to recoup some of that money.
Yeah. I figured that they had financially abused him as well, unfortunately. Don't put your kids in acting, professional acting,
if you're
please.
Not going to be there, especially.
Yeah. If you can't be there, don't
you
do
can't
it.
Constantly be aware of what's going on.
Maybe you shouldn't.
You don't need to be there because trust me, they are getting taken advantage of.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The Hollywood pedophile ring is connected to Jeffrey Epstein.
No, yeah, it is.
And the political pedophile ring. They're all connected.
They're all the same, I think. I think that the entertainment pedophile ring and the political pedophile ring are all connected.
I mean...
Because who are pedophiles friends with? Other pedophiles.
Exactly. Exactly. So stop letting your kids do that. Be there.
Be there.
Don't
be
let them present. Be a victim. Don't let your kid. If Michael Jackson says he wants to hang out with your kid because they're best friends, he's lying. Don't listen to him. Don't let him hang out with your kids. Also, no one should be comfortable. I don't care who it is. If someone's like, your kid is amazing and I just want to hang out with them all the time, the answer? No. The answer is no.
Yeah.
They can hang out with other 8-year-olds who have parents.
Oof. Yeah. Just don't let your kid hang out with an adult.
You wouldn't do it if it was like your neighbor.
So true.
If your neighbor was like a 35-year-old man who wanted to be best friends with your 7-year-old kid, you wouldn't let it happen. Just because his name is Michael Jackson and he's the king of pop doesn't mean you gotta let it happen. It's equally creepy as if your neighbor Steve wanted to do it.
Yes.
That's the thing. Celebrities, just people. So even though their name might carry a lot of weight, perhaps they're still just a person. And they might still have some skeletons in their closet. So maybe you shouldn't just give them the benefit of the doubt because they're famous.
True. All right, guys.
Ugh. All right.
Protect your kids.
Protect your kids. All right.
All right.
Bye. Bye.